Going to call a session to order. This is the session 3448 called War and Social Justice. And I have the privilege of giving you the first paper together with my colleague, Dr. Barry Levy. We want to start with thanking the Peace Caucus, which has sponsored this session and also the session at earlier this afternoon, and I wish I could introduce Bob Gould and Patrice Sutton, who are not quite here yet. There's Patrice, stand up please in the back. Patrice Sutton and her partner Bob Gould have been leaders of the Peace Caucus for many years, and we're very grateful to them for the privilege of doing this session. Also, there's a sign-up sheet. Ashish, do you have that sign-up sheet? It's in the back. A sign-up sheet for people who want to hear more about the Peace Caucus of APHA and Physicians for Social Responsibility. And so if you use the sign-up sheet, you'll get be on the list for future announcements. Now, my task in this presentation is to talk about communities in the United States. Dr. Barry Levy, whom I'll introduce in a moment, will talk about the effect of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan on communities in the United States. For anyone who wants further information, Dr. Levy and I have done a paper in The Lancet 2 months ago on the cost of United States wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and the adverse consequences of those wars. So if you want further information on what we'll be talking about, it's in that paper. In terms of the deaths, injuries, and disease that occurred to U.S. military personnel, there have been 6,200 officially announced U.S. service members and over 1,200 U.S. contractors working in Iraq and Afghanistan who have been killed. And in the same period, some 45,000 U.S. service members have been wounded, about the same number evacuated in injuries and disease, and more than 10,000 contractors have been seriously injured. We often neglect the contractors, the Hessians, if you will, for this war, working in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, in terms of physical injuries, many of those have had serious injuries, required amputation of limbs or hospitalization for physical therapy, and others have been left with personal permanent disabilities and unable to resume physical previous activities. And this, of course, has enormous complications, enormous implications for communities that they go back to in the United States. And more specifically, those who have suffered mental health problems as a result of their service in Iraq and Afghanistan have even more influence, even more implications for return to their communities in the United States. It's estimated that 30% of returning troops have stress-related mental health problems. A study of U.S. Army and Marine Corps personnel found that approximately 16% of those returning from duty in Iraq met screening criteria for major depression, generalized anxiety, or PTSD. And although 13% of returning troops from Iraq reported PTSD symptoms, less than 50% of those with these problems sought help. Now, the implications of these injuries and deaths on U.S. communities, this should be perfectly clear, but in case it's not, make clear that death causes grief among survivors and the loss of family members needed to care for their families. Injuries cause a loss of skilled personnel and the wages they earn. For many large medical care expenditures remain, and also mental health problems can cause major loss of ability to re-enter into work, family, and community life. In other words, these wars have had enormous effect on the communities from which the service members come. And when these service members come back into their communities, they have enormous reintegration problems. They have difficulties with social functioning. They have difficulties with return to community involvement. They have problems with self-care. Their spouses and children are adversely affected. And alcohol and substance abuse have been reported among many of them. And finally, with regard to the effects on U.S. communities, it's clear that the costs of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have had an enormous drain on these communities. The war in Iraq, just the operational costs, have been $800 billion. The war in Afghanistan has been close to $470-480 billion, and of course is still continuing. And the total costs on interest, including interest on debt, the operational costs, exceed, the total costs of all the impact of the wars, including the care for the veterans, may exceed $3 trillion. We've purposely used a conservative estimate of that cost. It's now estimated by Bill Mies and Stiglitz to get up to the neighborhood of $5 trillion. So this has had an enormous drain on communities in the United States. That has led to federal deficits. If you start with World War II, which is the left-hand side of that slide, move it through the Vietnam War, which has a relatively minor increase in deficits, and then this enormous, this unspeakable increase in deficits caused by the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. So that we all know that this deficit has caused enormous setbacks in the United States communities. We've taken $107 billion as the U.S. spending for war in Afghanistan for fiscal year 2011. It's actually going to be more than that. And going to provide it for, pardon me, for 1 year for any of the following: health care for 22 million adults, health care for 55 million children, a total of medical care for 13 million military veterans, 60 million elementary school teachers could have been hired, 13.6 million scholarships for university students could have been provided, and 6.4 million U.S. households could have been supplied with wind power, thereby helping with energy needs in their communities. Let me stop with this on U.S. communities and Dr. Barry Levy, who is adjunct professor of public health at Tufts Medical School and co-author with me of many books on this subject. Dr. Levy will talk about the impact on communities outside the United States.
Thank you, Vic. You know, one of the things that's very difficult to get data on, so much of our data on the impact on communities is almost by necessity data on individuals within those communities, and even those data, as you can appreciate, are difficult often to get accurate data on. One of the things that we struggle with trying to get some handle on, and some of these trade-offs shown on this last slide on adverse effects on U.S. communities begin to get at the functioning of the community as a whole, but there are things that are very difficult to measure in terms of how a community functions, in terms of their engagement in the issues facing those communities, in terms of how people are participating in non-governmental organizations and indeed the governmental processes of decision making. There's so many other ways of measuring the health of the community that are difficult for any of us to really get a handle on that. We don't fully know, you know, the impact on communities of these wars in both the United States and in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. With regard to the adverse effects on communities in Iraq, starting with the number of deaths of non-combatant civilians, there have been a number of studies trying to determine how many non-combatant civilians have been killed as a result of the war in Iraq. There are only three, however, population-based studies reported in peer-reviewed journals that have estimated both the excess number of deaths since the start of the war and the number caused by violence. And indeed, most of these studies were focused on the first 2 or 3 years of the war. The results of these studies range from about 100,000, 98,000 specifically in the first 18 months of the war to 655,000 in the first 40 months of the war, which amounts to between 126 and 540 estimated excess deaths per day. And again, this is these studies are focused on the early years of the war. In addition, the effects on communities in Iraq have gone far beyond the numbers killed or have died as a result of the indirect effects of the war. Wounded non-combatant civilians, high rates of childhood malnutrition, soon after the period where there were economic sanctions in Iraq from 1990 to 1998 that led to high rates of childhood malnutrition. Those rates were beginning to improve, and then the current war that hopefully is close to being over saw those rates increase again. Mental health problems that have really not been very well characterized in terms of the Iraqi population, damaged medical care and public health systems, difficulties with supplying medications and vaccines, particularly in the early years of the war, forced migration, literally millions of refugees and internally displaced persons, often to countries that can ill afford additional thousands, indeed millions of people, refugees within their border. Health problems have occurred due to damage to the health supporting infrastructure in the environment, including damage to water treatment facilities and sewage systems, some of which were damaged in the first Persian Gulf War in 1991 and not sufficiently repaired. Available of, as a result, safe drinking water has markedly decreased. Raw sewage has been dumped into the rivers from time to time. There's a great deal of unexploded ordnance throughout Iraq, and an important issue is depleted uranium, which has been used in shell casings to harden those shells, and also has not been adequately studied in terms of what the human health effects may be as a result of depleted uranium with low radioactivity. Similar sets of effects, although on a perhaps a different scale, in Afghanistan. Conservative estimates estimate about 8,800 civilian deaths. There indeed are likely to have been many more. Afghanistan in particular, compared to Iraq, has had a poor population health status, even antedating this 32-year period of war that began with the Soviet invasion in 1979. Life expectancy there today is only 48 years, compared to about 66 years for other countries in that region in Asia. Infant mortality rate at 149 per 1,000 live births is among the highest in the world. Maternal mortality ratio for the country as a whole is greater than 1,500 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. It's as high as 6,000 in some remote areas in the country, 6,000 maternal deaths per 100,000 live births. Childhood immunization rates are very low, and there's a high percentage of stunting. 54% of children are short for age. Again, the same series of problems in communities in Afghanistan as there occurred in Iraq: wounded non-combatant civilians, high childhood malnutrition, mental health problems, again, not well characterized or in terms of magnitude or nature of those problems, damaged medical care, forced migration. 75% of Afghan people were displaced from their homes between 2001 and 2010, at least for some period of time, three-fourths of the population, and health problems, again, to damage the infrastructure and the environment. We must think not only in terms of the damage directly to communities and indirectly to communities in Iraq and Afghanistan, but what the diversion of resources has caused, meaning that there's less international aid by the United, mainly by the United States, but also some of its coalition partners for addressing the Millennium Development Goals, which the United States, United Nations, and many countries have developed with major targets for the year 2015, only 4 years away. For example, to reduce poverty, extreme poverty, by half by that time, and we're lagging in achieving that goal. And the other goals listed here, because of decreased international aid, in part as a result of the wars, there's been less of it and less money to address these important problems in low-income countries. Official development assistance for in 2009, as a percentage of gross national income is shown on this slide, only five countries, Sweden, Norway, Luxembourg, Denmark, and the Netherlands, exceeded the recommendations of the United Nations as a target level of 0.70% of the gross national income of countries that the United Nations says or recommends should be devoted to official development assistance. The United States each year falls further and further down this list. We're 19th. We're just behind Portugal and just ahead of Greece in this calculation. So this is a percentage of total gross national income and how far we are behind. We're less than a third of the recommended level of the United Nations. Finally, it's important in this context to talk about the roles of public health workers addressing these problems. Much of which indeed is educational and advocacy work to end the war in Afghanistan, to support the final withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq, to reduce military expenditures, to increase funds for health and human services, to improve health services for returning service members and their families, and to advocate for a culture of peace. Indeed, perhaps the only way to prevent the impact of war on communities directly affected by the war that is in the war zones and for other countries participating in the wars may indeed be to, in fact, we believe, is to end war itself. Thank you.